You're very welcome to another edition of Lauren na Páirce here on WLR. It's Tomás McCarthy to keep you company till 7 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, Brian Flannery on Saturday's big match between Tipperary and Waterford, new Daisha minor hurling boss James O'Connor, and Camogie star Bec Carton on Saturday's top of the table clash with Antrim. But first,
back to Daly. Leads it for Caelum Lyons. Caelum Lyons giving it across. Conor Prunty outside his own 45. He's going for a long one. The roof will come off the stand if this goes over, because it has got over. Great score by Conor Prunty there. Fed by Caelum Lyons just outside his own 45. Wind assisted. The heavy side man gets his name on the score sheet. Now there's an opportunity for the Antrim man. He bends, he lifts, he strikes. Oh, brilliantly saved by Sean O'Brien. Goes for a 65 for Sean O'Brien. What a save. Now we were free, 55 metres out, standing on the far side in front of the dugout. On that far side is Austin Gleeson. It'll be some score if it goes over, because the angle is as tight as you could get, and that's exactly where it's gone. Over the bar by Ozzie Gleeson. Perfection by Ozzie. Really back in the groove and really in a good place and good for Waterford to have Austin Gleeson back. When Ozzie is back, you always have a chance when that man is focused. Away come Waterford. Good play. Jamie coming out with the ball. Oh, foul there in front of the referee, Fergal Horgan. Battling hard is Cormac Daly. Wins the ball. Referee blows his whistle. It's all over. It's all over. 122, 17 points. Waterford collect their second win of the league and look forward to Tipperary in 2 weeks' time. 122 to 17 points.
So after that hard-earned win over Antrim 2 weeks ago in Dungarvan, it's a top-of-the-table clash for the Daisha Hurlers at Simple Stadium on Saturday night. Tipperary versus Waterford will be our George Corbett scored a big match here on WLR. Kieran O'Connor and Owen Murphy will be in the commentary box, and our coverage starts at 6.45. Well, to preview this clash, we have a man who played for both counties in his time. That's a Munster Express writer, Brian Flannery. And Brian, a win for either team here will put them in pole position for a league semi-final. Looking at Waterford first, what will be their approach coming into this game on Saturday?
Well, look, I suppose it's great to have hurling back anyway. It seems like a long time since we had a game, and you know, it's you know, as you mentioned, it's a top of the table clash. You know, both teams unbeaten. I think Waterford have had an ideal run into this game in your three games: Dublin, Laois, Antrim. You know, opportunities to give players, I suppose, game time and to try out your panel. I think Davey maybe started 26 different players, something like 29 players got game time in the first three league games, which is great. But I think you're at a stage now where, you know, we're in March, April is around the corner, the championship is around the corner, where you want to move a little bit closer to what you're hoping will be your championship team at this stage. And perfectly, you have two games, Tipperary, and next weekend then you have Kilkenny and Nolan Park. Two perfect games to really, I suppose, you know, to try maybe sort out positional areas on the field, and again maybe to give one or two guys the opportunity to nail down a starting place for the championship. And but they're two perfect games. You know, as I said, Tipperary have been going well. They've won all their games, their three games to date. Particularly impressive up in Nolan Park, beating Kilkenny. Waterford are unbeaten, as I said, in games that you would have expected them to do well, but able to do so, I suppose, with, you know, mix and matching the team with some introducing some newer players. Having said that, I suppose the only concern from a Waterford point of view is in all three games, you know, you probably had to call on Austin Gleeson from the bench to, you know, to see the game out or to get him over the line, which would be a little concern, you know, that that at the end of the day you are going back to your trusted and reliable players. And I would expect to see more of the trusted and reliable players starting against Tipperary tomorrow.
What have we learned about Waterford's style of play in the first three rounds, Brian?
Yeah, look, there is definitely a change. There's no doubt about that. I would have looked at all three games. It's very noticeable, I suppose, particularly from the half-back line, your Caelum Lyons, Jack Figg and Micheál Hearney when he was playing there, McNulty, you know, where they are, you know, running an awful lot more of the ball out of defence. You know, which maybe is reminiscent of Wexford a few years ago when they had that run to the All-Ireland semi-final and lost to Tipperary, probably should have won it, where you had, you know, cornerbacks, halfbacks, fullbacks moving up the field, I suppose overloading attack at times and maybe defending in numbers then at other times as well. So there's definitely a subtle change in relation to how Waterford are playing. You know, there's pluses and minuses to that game. There's no doubt about it. The likes of Caelum Lyons and Jack Fagan, they certainly have the athleticism to perform those duties and have been playing quite well, in fairness. I'm not so sure if I was at the other end of the field, if I was playing corner forward and I was looking at my halfbacks sprinting up with the ball in their hands. Not sure I'd be overly pleased on that as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves, but more so against maybe let's see how it goes against some of the stronger or the perceived stronger teams over the next couple of weeks. We're looking for some of the stronger players to come back into it. Tadhg De Burka hasn't seen action, although was tugged out and on the sideline the last day against Antrim. I'm sure if he's alive and kicking at all, he'll see game time tomorrow.
Yeah, just on that point, Brian, how important is it that Tadhg De Burka gets minutes under
huge.
His belt this stage?
Absolutely
season?
Huge. I mean, it's, you know, you could say, look, there's some players where you'd make the exception to where you know, if they were nursing an injury, you'd just throw them back into a championship game. But I think particularly the way, like we mentioned, the way Waterford are playing, I think you need that match practice, that sharpness. Potentially Waterford may only have two league games left, you know, if they don't, and probably even the Kilkenny game will be even more crucial, with head to head and points, etc. You know, and if you were to lose in Nolan Park, the likelihood is that you wouldn't qualify. So, you know, there might be only these two games. So that's why I think we will see a close to championship type lineup, both tomorrow against Tipperary and probably even more so next weekend against Kilkenny.
Speaking of championship type lineup, who is Waterford's first choice goalkeeper at the moment, Brian?
God, you're asking me all the tough questions. yeah, it's a good one. Look, you know, Sean O'Brien, I suppose, look, hasn't put a foot wrong. You know, we were listening there to the penalty save against Antrim the last day out. He's a very reliable, very competent goalkeeper. You know, and I think, look, there's obviously the argument that Stephen O'Keefe, you know, if he had made himself available, would be the automatic choice. Look, Billy Nolan is a player I've watched from, you know, when he was playing minor with Waterford at 16, probably, I'd say, at the time. And, you know, he has that, I suppose, hurling ability that you know, is on show when he plays with I'm going to say WIT, what are we, SCTU Waterford?
Yeah, SCTU, yeah.
And with his own club, Rowan Moore. So there's no doubt in, you know, Billy Nolan's hurling ability. And I suppose, look, you look a lot of the teams now, Owen Murphy plays out the field for his club. You know, if you're, you know, would, I think we'll know in the next couple of weeks what Davy, you know, whatever about what Brian Flannery is thinking, I think what Davy Fitz will know.
Well, who would be Brian Flannery's number one?
Look, I suppose, pin me colours to the mast, thanks Tomás. I would have always, I suppose, look, had a preference for Billy Nolan because he certainly has more inter-county experience from minor and under 21 and under 20. Probably unlucky not to get the nod. You know, Sean O'Brien was certainly Liam Cahill's number one last year. You know, change of management, obviously this gives Billy Nolan another shot of it. He certainly looked very competent against Laois as well. So I'd say there's very little between the two goalkeepers. And Waterford are fortunate that, you know, we mentioned Stephen O'Keefe as well. It's not a weakness in the Waterford panel or in the Waterford team. You know, goalkeeping has been a strength in recent years, and that won't change whoever gets the nod at the end of the day. But yeah, personally, look, I think it's having watched Billy Nolan, I suppose, up close and personal for quite some time for both club and county. He's probably shaded for me, but, you know, only just.
What about Tipperary, Brian? Do they look like a team that are going all out to win this league?
Well, look, I think they're trying to find a little bit of confidence. You know, they've had a a very difficult last 12 months. They won no game in the Munster Championship last year, which would certainly have hurt a traditional county like Tipperary, who've, you know, who still have All-Ireland medal winners in their, you know, in their panel. I think it was a bit of a, you know, a bit of a statement win to go up to Nolan Park and beat Kilkenny, who would be their traditional foes, and they would have struggled in Nolan Park mostly over the last, even when Tipperary had very strong teams, they would have struggled in Nolan Park. So they're going nicely. I think if, you know, again, looking at the likes of the Fitzgibbon Cup, when you look at the performances of the likes of Garrod O'Connor at centre forward for UL, Brian O'Mara centre back for UL, winning the Fitzgibbon, you know, manning pivotal positions, you know, I think they're two players that we're going to see an awful lot more of in blue and gold. The concern is, you know, has Tipperary found replacements? Shane McCallan is, you know, has been used sparingly in the league so far. Can the likes of Mark Keogh, Kilsheelan, Jake Morrisonina, can they, you know, they've been on the fringes the last few years, can they step forward and become, you know, become the main attackers in that Tipperary forward line? Or, as I said, you know, are they going to have to go back to the likes of Bonner Maher and Jamie Callan and Noel McGrath, players like that, who at this stage, you know, while are very, you know, great guys to have available and on your panel, I don't think you want to be dependent on, you know, players that have been there 10, 12, 14 years to be carrying the, to be carrying your team at this stage. You do need new players. And I suppose, look, Liam Cahill has been trying to, I suppose, get game time into some of these youngsters. A lot of them, of course, he will be well known to Liam from the times he's been managing minor and under 20 teams in Tipperary. So they're in a discovery period, I suppose, at the moment as well. But for every county, the championship is just around the corner. So, you know, there's not an awful lot much more time. But I think you're right. I think Tipperary will be looking to get to a league semi-final. They probably have the slight advantage over Waterford Kilkenny in that their last game is against Antrim, where you would expect, albeit that is in Corrigan Park, you would still expect Tipperary to win that game. And that, even if they lost to Waterford up in Thurles, would be enough to qualify Tipperary for the league semi-final. But I do think, look, Waterford have beaten Tipperary a number of times in recent years. Beat them in the Munster League at the start of the year, gave them a bit of a trimming in the, I think, bit 10 points last year in the league, beat them in the championship last year. So it's a while since Tipperary have beaten Waterford. Liam Cahill, home crowd in Thurles, yeah, I'm absolutely sure they'll be up for it.
Which way are you leaning, Brian, on Saturday night?
Yeah, look, it's very hard, and we're sitting here this evening and we haven't got the lineups yet, so, you know, they'll probably be announced last minute type of thing. I'd like to see the Waterford starting lineup before making a firm prediction, but yeah, look, I think it's a great game for both teams. You know, maybe home advantage, would that give Tipperary the nod? You know, it's hard to know, as I said, but really looking forward to it. Like, it's great to get a top-class game this close to championship. And I don't think the fact that I think both counties meet each other in the last game of the Munster round-robin as well. So, you know, I don't think they'll be holding back too much either. So, you know, I think they can both have a good shot at it and, you know, see where it takes them.
And there should be a fine crowd, Brian, in Thurles on Saturday night. Like, the crowds have been big right across the country for the league, even though, like, as you touch on there, we're not sure about the lineups, we're not sure about, you know, each county's motivation heading into each game. Like, what do you make of the league as it stands in its current format?
Look, I suppose realistically, you know, the National Hurling League is now a pre-season competition. You know, you talk to any of the managers, you know, the priority for Liam Cahill, for Davy Fitz, is to get through the Munster round robin. Now, that's the toughest task that, you know, and particularly for, you know, Waterford and Tipperary, two counties who didn't qualify last year. That has to be the priority. And look, if we're sitting down here, you know, in July at the end of the championship, we won't be too bothered about, you know, where Waterford or Tipperary were back in March. So it is all about the championship. I think and unfortunately as well, if you look at last year, you know, the fact that Waterford won the league, you know, hugely impressive, beating Wexford in the league semi-final last year, very impressive against Cork in the final, and then flopped in the championship. Cork, you could say, while they qualified out of Munster, again, didn't really trouble too many counties after that. So I think everybody is looking at, yeah, look, grand, it'd be nice to get to league semi-final, get an extra game, but would you really want to be in a league final and then playing, you know, in Waterford's case, you'd be playing Limerick 2 weeks later in the first round of the Munster Championship up in Thurles. you know, I'm not certain, you know, and that, and I think in comparison to where the league was a few years ago, you know, there's no jeopardy, there's no risk of Tipperary or Waterford being relegated, there's no risk of any of the strong counties in you know, Kilkenny, Galway, Clare, Cork, they're not going to be relegated either. It's, you're going to have Westmead in a playoff against the losers of Laois and Antrim this weekend, and that'll be the case next year as well.
You mentioned earlier, Brian, that the league is now like a pre-season competition. Like, the GAA made the decision before the competition started to bump up the price of tickets from €15 to €18. Is that too steep for a league game in your view?
Yeah, look, Tomás, we're in a period of time at the moment. You know, we talk about you know, the cost of living crisis. You know, the cost of energy. Anybody, I had an ESB bill through the door this morning and it frightened me. So, you know, I do think for a game that's amateur and that, I'm not so sure the timing of increasing it was right. It is, you know, we're in March, tough all weather out there at the moment. You know, you want to encourage people to go to games. There's a huge appetite for people to go to games. That's definitely been clear from the league so far. I certainly wouldn't have increased it, particularly for these league games. You could also argue maybe it would have been better just having a, you know, if you finish top of your group, two top teams straight into a final. Again, that might have created another bit of space. Yeah, look, there's certainly things that we could do better. We have a new president coming in, I think, at the end of the year. A guy who, you know, is very impressive and speaks very well, and who's, you know, played inter-county himself. His son is a current inter-county star. I'm really looking forward to maybe seeing what he can do with the position as GAA president. And yeah, Jarlett Burns, it'll be interesting to see if there's changes that can, I suppose, you know, promote the game even further.
Just before you go, Brian, I'm going to put you on the spot yet again, looking at the rest of the hurling fixtures. You might give us some quick fire predictions. Antrim versus Laois.
The interesting thing is that Laois are a funny county. You know, Antrim's form has been far better, you know, in general than Laois. But Laois have the habit of winning the game that they have to. They might be terrible for three or four matches, but, you know, they will have been looking at this, that if we beat Antrim, we'll stay up. You know, while most people would say Antrim, because of their performances, because they haven't got hammered by any of the stronger counties, that they would be favourites. I think you could see a surprise. I'd have a little fancy for Laois in that one.
Kilkenny versus Dublin?
Yeah, again, look, Dublin will be smarting from having, you know, struggled a little bit so far. Can they expect maybe one or two more of the Ballyhale Shamrocks players back in the lineup? That would certainly help their cause. You'd have to say maybe that Kilkenny would be favoured there.
Real derby game here, Clare versus Galway.
Yeah, that's going to be entertaining as well. You know, Galway have flattered to deceive, I'm not sure. You know, Clare were very impressive last day out. Again, it could come down to what sort of lineup. We saw when Clare brought back in Tony Kelly, brought back in John Conlon. They were outstanding the last day, gave Wexford a right thumping down in Wexford. Maybe Clare in that one, Tomás.
I'm not going to ask you for a prediction on Westmead versus Limerick, but Cork versus Wexford.
Yeah, again, look, you know, Dara Egan, the Wexford manager, had very harsh words about some of his own players the last day. They, you know, I think they have problems in relation to strength and depth. You know, they had a lot of changes, a lot of inexperienced players, and they suffered. I don't think you could look past Cork. Cork seemed to be building nicely. They're, you know, again, Cork are a county that has lots of players, you know, and under Pat Ryan, they seem to be getting a little bit more out of some of the younger players. Kieran Joyce at centre back is a joy to watch. You know, and they have Declan Dalton back in, hurling well for them. You know, if they can get one or two more back into the fray, I know Mark Coleman is injured and but due back in the next few weeks. I think Cork could be an interesting team, particularly in the league, because they're not out in the first round of the Munster Championship. They have an extra week. I think Cork wouldn't be a bad bet to go on and win the league.
Well, Brian Fannery from the Munster Express, thanks a million for your time this evening.
Cheers, Tomás.
Lore Na Páirce with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.